So I was really excited to hear about this event in our church news sheet recently, just a few weeks ago. I put it straight in my calendar. And the reason is, back in 1985, when I was just 15 years old, schoolboy, there were similar flyers to tonight's ones, advertising another evangelistic outreach meeting. The flyers distributed around my parents' church and my school, Bishop Wand in Sunbury. They were advertising a week-long Louis Palau mission in a big top on Hounslow Heath. And the final evening of that week was at Queen's Park Rangers football ground. My mum was absolutely thrilled that I'd asked to go. And I'd been brought up by Christian parents and grandparents, but that didn't really qualify me as a Christian. We went along on Monday night, but I was completely disinterested. I sat there with my arms folded, and my ears were closed, and yet I still asked if we could go again. So we went again along on Tuesday. We sat through the meeting. I was still disinterested. My ears were still closed. And even so, I still asked if we could go again. Mum was a bit surprised at my reaction. Wednesday we had to miss it because she has a regular house group meeting. But we went along on Thursday, and by this point I kind of knew the format. I knew that there'd be an altar call. And I knew also that God had been calling me through that week. I just felt it was my time to surrender. And as soon as the invitation was given, I was literally the first to the front, and it felt like I floated to the front as the congregation was singing Amazing Grace. I had three opportunities that week. There was a battle going on between two kingdoms, but I had to decide. There could only be one opportunity for you tonight to respond to the call and purpose of God on your life. So listen to the good news. Decide for yourself in your spirit who you will follow. Your response has everlasting implications. It's the most important personal decision you'll ever make in your life. It won't necessarily make your life easy. In fact, 4 years later, both my kidneys failed. However, after 7 years on dialysis, I had a kidney transplant, which meant that someone had to die so that I could live and be here today. I have a wife, three children, and even grandchildren, which was something I could never imagine, along with other many blessings. My faith in God, who loves me, has carried me throughout all these tough times, and he still does, even nowadays. So I'd just like to thank Andy and Open Door Church Sunbury for organizing this evening. And I just want to welcome Andrew Palau to the stage. Thank you.
Woo! Wow, what a great story. And we just met and we have something in common. I'll tell you my story in a little bit. And it concludes with me coming forward and receiving the Lord at a Louis Palau Festival outreach. So we're like brothers, right? Brother from another mother. You ever heard that? That's us. Well, my name is Andrew Palau, and it's a privilege to be with you tonight. We've had such a good day today, and it's good to be back into the UK. My dad has come and back and forth for many years. You know, sometimes they'll say I'm an American evangelist, which is fine. I'm not ashamed of that. But if they only knew, we have a family that's very confused. My dad, Luis Palau, is from Argentina. My mom is originally from Northern Europe. I was born in Cali, Colombia, in South America. My brother in Mexico City. I have two brothers that were born in California. My wife is Jamaican. Two boys born in Oregon, and my daughter is from Ethiopia. So we are very confused. We're like the United Nations as a family. And one of the places in this world that we have loved so much is the United Kingdom. It's been such a blessing to our families, both the missionaries that came from this place all the way down to Latin America when there was very few people to share the good news, and they came down and sacrificed so much. That has impacted our family now into the third and the fourth generation. So we are great. We feel like we owe a debt of gratitude to you all here. So to be invited is a real privilege. And I've got so much to share tonight. It's exciting. It's been a great week. We're in Portland and Weymouth. I had done an outreach, a mission down there several years ago around the Olympics, 5 years ago. Can you believe how time flies? Do you remember the sailing Olympics down there? It was beautiful, and we watched it. We were in Tanzania doing a mission down there, And we watched the Sailing Olympics. I said, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be right there in that place. And so we were there, and now we've come back. And we just pray that we'll be friends for life. And tonight, what a privilege it is to have a chance to share with you this good news that we've been talking about that transformed your life, Steve. Steve said that at the time that he came forward, he didn't really intend to go, but he was compelled. God had been speaking to him, and he said he floated down there. And I know that feeling, but it's a great day today. Lots to celebrate, lots to be excited about. There's a lot of freedoms that we enjoy. We're here together. We experience great music. But at the same time, it's a season of challenge in around the world. But here especially, we're focused on the difficult sadness of what happened up in Manchester. These things are happening all around the world. It just came so close to home. It really captures our attention. And I think when our attention is captured, it's good to think soberly about what we're facing and what's happening in the world today and how will I respond and what does it mean to me? And, you know, you have these days, sometimes it's big national sensational things that really shake you up and you start to think, ask deep questions about life and human relations and the future and where you think about eternity and all these things come into mind. I know... I have had a day like that recently that really made me think seriously about life. And it's the reason that I'm so excited to be with you here today. You know, there are many promises that God makes in His Word. And the one thing the Bible says about His promises, God says, not one of my good promises has ever failed. So we know He's good for His Word. But one of the things I notice in here is that God never promises us tomorrow. You know, and He never promises that our life will be easy or simple. In fact, He makes this promise, which is kind of a, like, I thought you guys said this was good news, and now you're coming with this stuff. But, I mean, it's just reality, right? You wouldn't want anything but the truth and the reality. You know it for yourself. There's a passage in Hebrews where He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that's the fact of the matter. You know, life is difficult. He won't make it perfect for you, but He will be with you through it all. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. He talks about life with Him as the abundant life. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And I want to encourage you about this idea. The title for this message today is Rest for Your Souls. And you may be here today and you feel restless and you have an anxiety and maybe darkness comes on you now and again or increasingly. I want to let you know that God comes and He offers something that He calls rest for your souls. And He talks about it from 1,000 different angles. I'll mention a few of them today. But if you're feeling that need in your heart, I ask you to seriously consider coming to God, humbling yourself before Him. You may feel like church and the way we do things is a little awkward and you don't like to sing or whatever experiences you've had in church. I pray that you would just kind of put those aside today and get through the awkwardness and come to see what's behind it all. It's that the God of the universe has been calling you. And maybe you've heard Him calling you for many days through your life and circumstances. And you know, when He calls you, He always has this call. He says, come, follow me. Follow me, He says, and I will give you the light of life, and you will never walk in darkness again. And it's a beautiful reality. What He's calling us to is a walk with Him. It's a relationship with Him, a very personal situation that He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And it's not a religious chasing around that we're talking about. We're talking about the God of the universe bringing you into His family, incorporating you into that family. So there's beautiful things about family, right? There's all the comfort that can come if you have a beautiful, healthy family. You're embraced into that, and you have a place of belonging. There's rights, and there's also responsibilities, things that you need to do. So we're going to talk about a lot of these things. But the day that got me seriously thinking recently, and we all have days in our life that kind of mark our lives, and you know you can kind of look back and you think of these high points and challenging points along the way that form you into who you are. And one of those days for me recently was, I wrote it down because I forget everything. I forget my birthday, if you let me. But it was December 23, 2009. And there was something that happened with me and my family. And my wife is from Jamaica. I mentioned that. I have a picture of my family. Well, let's look at them. They're amazing. It would make me not feel so homesick. Is it there? There they are. Aren't they amazing? So that's Wendy, Christopher, Jonathan, and beautiful little Sadie. She's from Ethiopia, and she is the joy of our life. So, but my wife is from Jamaica, and you know, every Christmas we get to go home, and we always end up in Miami, and then we fly over to Kingston, Jamaica. We've done it so many times, and the Jamaicans are a tight-knit community, right? So you know they, when you get on a plane going to Jamaica for Christmas, everybody's on there. They're so excited. It's like a party on the plane, and everybody knows everybody, and they start, you know, they start breaking out into laughter and cheers. And with this particular day, though, we were flying across, and it was very stormy. Our plane was delayed because of the storms, but they decided they were going to go, and we got on the plane, and we started making our way, and it was very bumpy. They even stopped serving the drinks because they said, it's too bumpy right now, but we'll just get you there, and we'll be so happy. It was getting late into the night because of the postponement of our departure, and as we're flying over there, with all the bumps and all the chaos, we had no idea, never a thought crossed my mind of what was coming, and my beautiful wife was behind me with my daughter Sadie, and I was in the row in front with me and my two boys, and you know, the enemy designed a plan to destroy us and all the other 152 people on that plane. And but God was merciful, you know, in the squall of a rainstorm, suddenly, without any sense of what was coming, everything went black, and in a horrendous impact, our plane crashed on the beach, and you can see that the impact was beyond anything you could ever imagine. We hit the beach, and that is the next day when the sun came out. But in the darkness of night, you know, the impact was so great. I remember immediately thinking to myself, I must be dead, right? I had hit my head so hard on the thing, and blood was coming down my face. It was pitch black. And I thought to myself, I must be dead, because I always thought, if you're in a plane crash, you're dead, right? And I'm like, that's not the worst way to go, because it's so quick, and then you're up there, right? But I realized, like, you're not dead, because here you are. And I felt wind and rain blowing on my face, and I couldn't put it together. How could I be in the airplane and wind and rain are blowing in my face? I had no concept that the plane could have wrenched apart in that way. And I realized, like, okay, the next thought that came into my mind is anybody else alive in here? Which is such a horrible thought, because I couldn't see anything around me. And I wondered about my children and my wife. And all of a sudden, if you've been on a plane, you know how they always say, in case of emergency, the emergency lights will come on. You ever hear that? You ever wonder if they come on? They come on. I'm so happy. This little weird, eerie, kind of yellow glow kind of fills up the cabin. And it was sort of shocking. And everything was quiet, and I wasn't sure if it was just because hitting my head, but I jumped up and turned around, and everybody on the plane was sitting in shock. There was no noise, and everyone was feeling a little bit like me, I think, just uncertain of what to do and what had happened. And I remember looking to my boys, and I saw them there, and all the panels and the overhead bins that are so secure had fallen all around us, and where things were strewn everywhere, and wires, and you could smell smoke, and you could smell the fumes of the petrol, which was spilling out underneath the plane. And it was a horrible moment, because I thought, okay, here we are, but what is going to happen? We have got to get off of this plane. I looked to my boys. I'm like, you all right? Yes, Dad, we're all right. I turn around. I see my wife, Wendy. You okay, Wendy? Yes, I'm okay. And I said, where's the baby? Because I looked in the seat right next to her, and Sadie was not there. I said, where's the baby? And she said, I don't know. And we looked, and she was in a, you know, a car seat, you know, people take car seats on planes. We had never done that in our life, and we travel all the time with the boys, and for some reason, my wife, when we left, said, let's take the car seat. I'm like, no, we're not taking the car seat. It's just one more heavy thing. We're not car seat people, right? And she's like, we're taking the car seat. I'm like, okay, you don't argue with a Jamaican wife. I tell you that right now, cannot do it. Doesn't work at all. So I'm like, okay, give me the car seat. We're hauling seat. I promise you, it saved her life. God had somehow put this idea into her mind to take it, and I know it saved her life. She was, the thing had, you know, sort of flipped. It was connected at the seatbelt, and it rotated over and had jammed in the footwell, and it was stuck down there. And I said, oh, no. So we pulled, and we flipped it over, and I didn't want to see. You know, I just thought, oh, I don't want to see what's down there. But we pulled it up, and there she was. Wah! Like, oh, she's good. Let's get. And we unbuckled her, and I grabbed her, and I pinned my other boy on my back. and his shoes had flown off. And I said, "Where's your shoes?" He said, "I don't know where my shoes are." So I pinned those two. My wife grabbed the other boy, and we ran off the edge of the plane, onto the wing, jumped into the darkness, and ran off. And God, the whole time, was giving me peace and a sense of direction. And even as I went off the plane, most people had hardly even moved. And I said, "Come on, we got to get off the plane." And people began to stand and rise, and we all escaped. And it was a great miracle. Every single news, all the newspapers, there's only really two. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand, right? He is so good. He was so good to us that day. And every newspaper in Jamaica had the same headline, "Miracle in Jamaica." And it was a great miracle. God was merciful to us. And you know, he does these things and you wonder why. Why do some people suffer and struggle in this way? And then other people have these great stories and they get to say, "I thank God for it." But I just tell you, God was so good to us. And the things that I learned from that are many. One, we have grown in our relationship as a family. We do not take each other for granted like we might have done at other times, because we realize that life is short. The Bible says your life is like a vapor. And the other reason I get excited, and one thing that I take from it is, you know, I get so excited to tell people about God and Jesus and the work that he can do to transform your life. He prepares you for life day by day, and he prepares you for eternity. And I want to be faithful to call people to come to know Jesus, and he will radically transform your life. He will take care of your past. He will care for your present, and he will take care of your eternity. And this is stuff that every person has to have confirmed if they want to go forward and enjoy what he calls the abundant life. And you know, I don't know where I'll be tomorrow, so every time I get in front of people, they're in for it, because I don't know what's going to happen to me. You know, if that could happen, anything could happen. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow, so I want to share the good news and give you a chance to respond and receive this gift. It's a gift that's being given to you by God himself, and we represent that to say, just like we had to receive it, you receive it. Make it your own, and things will begin to change. And I don't know where you'll be tomorrow, so you're going to get it right now. How does that sound? I'm really very excited, as you can see, about what God can do in a life. And the message I mentioned, rest for your souls, right? We all desire it, right? But can we find it? I mean, listen to what God says. This is a great promise from Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. It says this. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And you're all here tonight, and you know, sometimes people think, well, what does that mean, rest for your souls, right? Sometimes they think you just need a nap and that would be good enough, right? You get so worn down and life gets busy and you're running from job to family to all the things that keep us busy in life, and just think, oh my gosh, if I could just get a rest, I'd be fine. But that's not the kind of rest we're talking about. Every Christmas we get to go to Jamaica. Like, that trip was our trip to Jamaica at Christmas, and we all get together there, and my wife's family all love the Lord, and so it's a refreshing time for us. We get to talk about what's happened in the year and pray for each other and make plans. And when I leave that place, I'm really refreshed, you know? So I feel like that's a great place to rest. But God's not talking about that kind of rest either. It's a deeper rest. It's a simple picture. This coming to the crossroads of life. You know, there are times in life where you just feel like things are coming to a head. And you come to a crossroads and you have this opportunity. You see the road you've come down, the pros and the cons of it. And you look to the future and you wonder, which way should I go? What decisions should I make? You come to the crossroads of life. And God says, come, follow me. And you ask him, if you'll look down the different paths available to you, look for those ancient paths, the good way. And then he says, walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So it's a beautiful thing that God does, providing for us this opportunity. It's a deeper discussion, a deep issue of the very core of your being, your very life and your soul. And this issue and this desire to find peace in life, it crosses all time and cultures. You know, I was reading and thinking about this, and I happened upon this reading from 1,500 years ago, long time ago, right? 1,500 years ago, a North African bishop, his name was Saint Augustine, and he put it this way. O Lord, you have made me for yourself, and our soul is always restless until it finds its rest in you. And you are here today, and you're asking these same questions. You're like, that's fine for the Archbishop 1,500 years ago, but you don't know what's happening in my life. Here I am today in 2017, and you feel like you're on your own, and you're isolated, and you're fighting for your own future, and you're wondering, is there really rest? I have this anxiety. I feel worried, and I feel a hopelessness. Can I really find rest in the midst of these kinds of trouble? I mean, look what's happening up there in Manchester. Look at all the anxiety. There's war in this world. There may be war in your own home and war even in your own spirit. And you feel discouraged. And you look at your relationships and you say, oh my gosh, I'm a relational disaster. And there's violence. And you may be haunted by the things that you've done in your past. It feels like it's tumultuous and the heavy weight of it. You have a broken heart, and you know there's all these sensational things that happen, like plane crashes and bombings. But you know the saddest thing about life, most people fear all those things and live in anxiety about them. But the most desperate thing is that they see that they're just living a life of quiet desperation, and they've lost hope about the future and hope about relationships. And if any of these things are hassling you and burdening you today, and if there's a darkness that comes on you, I want you to know God offers you a beautiful peace that will come and take over in your life. And I want to tell you, is there rest available in this world? Absolutely yes. We have dedicated our lives to telling people about how they can come and receive Jesus Christ. And around the world, it's the same. The enemy, John 10:10 says, the enemy, he comes for one purpose and one purpose only, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he will do it in your life if you allow him. But God goes on in that verse to say, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The abundant life, that deep inner peace, that rest you desire, that is why he came. I have come that you may have the abundant life. And that's another way that he's trying to tell you about the rest for your soul. And you know, I was thinking about this. What are some other passages that reflect this? And just a few chapters before, in the book of Isaiah, here's another way that it's sort of a clarification, another way of contrasting the two ways you can choose. So if the picture is of a crossroads, right? You've come down a path and you hit a crossroads, you have to make a decision which way to go. And you're here at those crossroads today. Let me just draw your attention to how God contrasts the decision that you make and the results of it. And this is what it says. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? That's Jesus. Let the one who walks in the dark and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all of you who light fires of your own and provide yourself with flaming torches, go on. Walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you've set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. And now, isn't that exactly what you have found in life? This is exactly my experience. Every single time I have come to a path in my life, and I've looked down this way, and I look down this way, and I look down this way, and I've launched off in a path that's outside of God's plan, and it's so clear, he calls us to walk in it, but we choose our own way. And every time I've walked off in the light of my own torch, once I get far down that road, far away into the dark, and that lamp is snuffed out, I lay down in torment, and everything that started for fun has now enslaved me and harassed me. And I always say to myself, how I wish I would have listened to God and obeyed him and followed him and walked in his path. How did I get over here? And this is exactly my situation for the first 27 years of my life. I'm going to tell you my story in a minute. But contrast that path and that result to this. He says, listen to me, those of you who pursue righteousness and seek the Lord. It was I who dried up the sea and the waters of the great deep and made a road, a path, right through the depths of the sea so that the redeemed might cross over. Those the Lord has rescued will return and they will enter with singing. In everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. I love that. What does it say? It says, everlasting joy will crown your head. That's a picture of the peace and the confidence about eternity. An everlasting joy, a joy that you feel now and you know will be with you to the end and all the way into eternity. And gladness and joy will overtake you, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I always thought of that verse, and every time I read it, I don't know why, because I used to surf. I'm not strong enough to do it anymore, but I used to surf. And if you're a surfer, if you've ever even watched anybody surf, you can see what happens. You go out there, you paddle through, and you get through the waves, and you're exhausted, and then you try to catch a wave, and you start to paddle, and they're paddling, and they're paddling, and the wave starts coming up, and it starts coming up, and if you don't do it right, which I never did, I would miss it, and all of a sudden you'd say, oh no, and it would just catch you up, and just roll you, and you'd tumble in the surf, and it seems just like this, that gladness and joy will overtake you, like the wave overtakes you. You have no choice. These things will overwhelm you and carry you forward. It's like you're out of control with it. We feel so out of control in our life with darkness and shame and sadness and regretful activities. And we say we can't help it. And God's saying, follow me. And the thing you won't be able to help is gladness and joy. Isn't that a great path to be walking down? Go for it. Walk with him. We'll offer you that opportunity tonight. And I pray that you'll take a step down that path and take a step of faith. Because you'll never understand it thoroughly. I'm not even that great a preacher. I'm just excited, right? And God's changed my life. But you got to take a step of faith. Once you believe and you say, I know this is the right way. I'm looking down this path. I'm not going that way any longer. Walk with him. Give him that opportunity. Give him your life. You know, in 2 Corinthians, it describes what I'm trying to share with you this way. It says, you will be swallowed up by life. Isn't that beautiful? Swallowed up by life. Peace and rest in your souls. Not perfect, but changed, and not alone. You'll have a companion. The great Holy Spirit will be with you all the days of your life, even to the very end. He says, even if your father and mother forsake you, I will never forsake you, says the Lord. It's such a beautiful promise. And you know, I am ashamed to tell you, I foolishly wandered around for 27 years down all the paths you can imagine into the darkness, living life in the world. And you know, there's a passage that says, in Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16. Again, it says it twice. It's that important, right? It's this book of ancient wisdom, and it talks about these things. He says, there's a way that looks right to a person, but in the end, it leads to death. And that's what I found too. You know, when I went off in the direction I went, I had a great family. My parents were faithful to me. I had a great church. I didn't see a lot of hypocrisy there. I didn't suffer any abuses. I was completely without excuse. The Bible says even if those things had happened in your life, you're still without excuse. But me, more than anyone. And I looked down these paths, but I didn't just say to myself, you know, I've got this great background. My parents are wonderful. I have every advantage. But I just want to destroy my life. I'm going to just tear it up and become a disaster. I want to be dark and sad and shameful. I didn't say that at all. I looked down that path and I said, it looks right to me, right? And the people down there, they're happy. They're smiling. They're like, come on. And the world says, live it up. And I'm like, I'm going to live it up, you know? I'm like, I'm not going to be like a loser. I'm going to party. And I just put my whole investment of life, and I built this foundation for myself around these foolish things. It was just the simple, ridiculous things of this world. Partying, alcohol, drugs, all the things that the relationships that go along with that partying lifestyle. And I went down that way for 27 years. You may not relate to that too much, but that's okay. There's another verse I'll share with you, the truth of the Word of God in Hebrews. And God says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to their own way. So I want to share my story with you so you can find a point of connection. Maybe you resonate with some parts of it, some of the principles. But you have your own story. Which way have you gone? That verse, it sounds like such bad news, right? All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to their own way. You're like, I thought you said this was good news, man. This is a bad news. But he never leaves us with the bad news. He goes on to say, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one turned to their own way. But God laid on Jesus the sins of us all. And that is the beautiful truth that we need to get to. This good news, you know, it's about the cross of Jesus Christ. And you know, you may, if you're not really familiar with church or maybe you haven't read the Bible or been around Christians too much, and you see the cross, and like it's on the churches, people have it on their neck, and they have tattoos, and sometimes there's a man on it, and I think it's Jesus, but I don't know what it's about. It seems really bloody and awful. What is it about? It's simply that Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay the penalty we should have paid, the penalty that is burdening us, the penalty of sin, which is the garbage of our life that blocks us from the relationship that we were created to have with God. He went to pay that penalty on our behalf so that we could be made right with God, that we could have that relationship we were created for. It could be made whole again, and we could come back into the family and come back to walk on that path. And you say, well, I'm too far gone. I've gone down all these paths. I'll never get back there. God will bring you directly onto his path. And he does it because of the sacrifice. That's the reason he says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and I'm able to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the reason he says I'm able is because he's the only one who laid down his life to pay the penalty for sin, to make us right with God in our relationship and restore us onto a path of peace and hope and life and incorporate us into his family. And I could go on and on and on with the illustrations that God has given us about what that relationship is like, but how I hope you'll turn to him today and accept that forgiveness. He will completely transform your past when he forgives you and all of that garbage is lifted. He'll empower you today. When you ask him to come in, his Holy Spirit will come in and live inside you, and you can walk in his ways and walk down that path with strength, and he'll give you the great promise of tomorrow. So my parents, right, after 27 years of all of my foolishness, if you could have seen it, they were heartbroken. I feel so terrible for them, all the things that they had to go through. But the whole time of my rebellion against God and my foolishness in this world, they did these things. They prayed for me, and they prayed for me faithfully. And you know, there's great power in prayer. And if you feel tonight, you're sort of like wondering, like, how did I get here anyway? And what is happening? These guys seem kind of crazy. That's okay. But you feel also, I feel like God is calling me. I think he's brought me here. And you know, I think that that's the case. And the reason I can say that is because we've been praying. We've been praying for you that God would do that exact thing, that he would draw you here, that you would hear this message, and that you would respond once and for all, humbling yourself, asking God to come in, to clean out your past and give you a fresh start, and you can walk down that path and put your trust in him. So my parents prayed for me. They also lived a life as an example that when God says, I offer you life and life in abundance, I had an example before me. And they weren't perfect, but they were changed, and they were growing, and they were sticking together, and they were full of life, and they were at peace with all that they had. Whether it was great or small, they were thankful to God and at peace. So they lived that life. And the third thing they did is they shared with me this good news, just like I'm sharing it with you today, because they knew the good news of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And you know, they didn't want me to just be a good boy and be more obedient to them and stop crashing their cars. Those are good side benefits, for real, right? But they wanted me to be transformed. They knew I needed a radical transformation, a complete overhaul, and they believed God for it because they knew the good news had the power. It was the power of God to make things right between me and God and give me a fresh start. And that's why they shared it. And that's why we're so excited to share it with you today, because no matter how far away you are from God, no matter how dark and how desperate your life feels, he says you'll lie down in torment if you're in a place where you just feel, that is me. I feel tormented about these situations. Maybe the whole world knows it and you're the laughing stock of the community, or maybe you're just living a life of quiet desperation and you have a mask that to say to the world, everything's fine, but inside you know it's not fine. That's what I got to eventually. I remember later on, at the age of 25, 26, 27, I began to abuse alcohol in a new way because it all started for fun, but then it enslaved me. And I began to abuse alcohol because this way, I never wanted to go to bed sober. Because if I ever went to bed sober in the dark, my mind would just flood with all of the garbage of my life, my lying and cheating and stealing, my arrogance and my pride, my lack of faith, my rejection of God. And you know, I'd lay there in the dark and all the faces of the people that I had hurt would haunt me. And I hated it so much. And I was fearful about my future in this world and fearful about eternity. I'm like, I can't take it. So what did I do? I was just like tormented, right? And I just ran off and got deeper and deeper. And the cycle kept going down into the spiral. So every night I'd be drinking with my friends, out partying to avoid that situation, right? Or I would just sit by myself and drink until I passed out. And then my alarm would go off. I'd go off to work, go out partying, and I had this terrible cycle going on just to avoid the reality of my situation, my spiritual situation. And in all that time, my parents prayed for me. They lived the life. They were full of joy, and they shared with me the good news. And what they did finally, after many hundreds of attempts, you know, they had dragged me to 100 meetings like this. I'd heard this message 1,000 times. But mysteriously, in this one occasion, my parents called me out of the blue, and I was living very far away from them in a very cold place called Massachusetts, all the way across America from each other. And they said, you want to come to a festival, like a Christian mission thing? I was like, no thanks. I've been to a few of those before. Not my idea of a holiday. Thanks anyway. And they said, well, that's okay. We just thought you might be interested because this one's in Kingston, Jamaica. And I was like, oh, Jamaica, huh? Maybe I can work something out, right? And you know, I'm thinking about red stripe beer, hit the beach, get some sun. I know how to handle this Christian thing, right? But God had other plans for me. And then in the most beautiful way, my parents could have never thought, oh, I think Andrew's like really ready to consider these spiritual things. They just were being faithful to say, you know what? Let's share with him. Let's see what God is doing. I didn't see it as I went out there, but when I heard the good news, and I just, in a sober moment, took a look at my life, I took stock. It's like I came to the crossroads, and I looked at my situation. I said, this is not good. And he brought me mercifully to the crossroads to look, and I asked him for the good way. And then he gave me the ability to humble myself and ask him to forgive me. And as he promised, he forgave me, and he lifted me out. I was there with thousands of people at the Kingston National Stadium, but it was just like it was me and God. And it felt so awkward. I was like, you know who was preaching? My dad, of course, right? Super awkward. And I'm like, gosh, he's picking on me. But he wasn't picking on me, was he, Steve? It was just God himself. The God of the universe had been calling me for many days, and I prayed that if he's been calling you, that you would respond once and for all to his call today. And I just said, God, I'm coming to you. Will you please forgive me? And he said, yes, I've been waiting for you. I thought it was too late for me. I've gone too far. I've been too rebellious and resisted you too much. Would you really have me? He said, I've been waiting for you. He forgave me, and he filled me with his Spirit, healed me of my addictions, began to restore relationships, and gave me the great promise of heaven. And life has been radically different since then. Last 24 years, been able to grow and begin to walk with him and become mature. He's made me faithful to my wife, faithful to my children. And you know, these are the great miracles of God that he does to transform a life and give you a new vision for your life, new desires for your heart. And I'm so grateful that they never gave up on me. And I share that all with you today in great hopes that you may be rejoicing in your heart that you said, I've been waiting and I'm ready. And if that's you, if you're willing to humble yourself, you can have this great transaction that I described. God will lift you up out of the darkness that you're experiencing, and it will give you a new life, and you begin to walk in his ways and experience the abundant life, rest for your souls. If you desire it, come and take it. He says, come and drink freely from the river of the water of life. And that's another picture, all these beautiful pictures. The free gift of the water of life. It's a gift. I'm not like encouraging you about it. I'm like begging you. I will beg you. Come to the Lord tonight. Give him your life. Don't wait another day. Let that peace overwhelm you. Let it overwhelm you. And you can walk, and it'll be a new day for you all the way to the end. So if you're willing and you're feeling it, I'll just lead you in a prayer. Let's all stand while we pray. In reverence to the Lord, this great God who has mercifully offered himself, paid the great penalty on our behalf. And as you stand, I'm going to read one more passage. It's from Revelation 3. And I want you to receive this as from God himself. Because it's the words of Jesus, not my words, the words of Jesus. And he says, "Behold, here I am. I stand at your door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them. I will eat with them and they with me." Which is a beautiful picture of our relationship that we were made for, made whole. You hear him knocking. Maybe for many days he's been calling you and you've been resisting him and you haven't gone near the door, but now you say, just open the door. He says, "I will come in. I'll eat with you and you with me." What a beautiful picture. The God of the universe with you day by day. So to respond to that, to open the door, you could pray just a prayer. "I'll lead you." And it's your heart connecting to the living God. It's not some mystical special prayer. It's just you're speaking to God. And you would say something like this: "Heavenly Father, I believe in you. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for paying the penalty I should have paid. I am so sorry, but I am so thankful. Thank you for doing that, and I ask you to forgive me and clean me out, Lord. I've behaved so badly, and I'm sorry. I thank you for your promise to forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. I believe in you, and I receive you now. Come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I need power. I haven't had it before. Thank you for coming in. And thank you for heaven, my home, that you're alive and you're there and you're waiting for me. And I can't wait to see you there. And I will never fear death again. Because now I know that when I die, or when you come again, I will be with you there forever. Thank you for the great promise and the assurance of heaven, my home. I can't wait to be there. But until then, Lord, show me what to do. I want to take a step down this path, and I'm scared. And I know these promises are mine because of what your Bible says. But I have to take a step now, and I'm nervous. But Lord, strengthen me to do it so I can go off with joy and serve you forever. In Jesus' name, amen."